But enough about that. Listen now to the events I happened to take part in after my arrival in the chief place of existence of the community of Russia, then called St. Petersburg. As I have already said, when my acquaintance, the said important Russian, straightened out his affairs, which had become disorganized during his absence, I began to go everywhere and meet beings of all classes and situations in order to study the particularities of their manners and customs and make clear for myself the cause of their so-called organic need for alcohol and the manifest consequences of its effects on their common presence. It's interesting to remark that during these meetings with three-brain beings belonging to various classes and situations, I noticed several times, and after more attentive observation, it became quite evident to me that the majority of them carried in themselves the germ of that particular functioning of their common presence, which for a long time had been arising in your favorites owing to a certain combination of two independent external causes. The first of these causes is a common cosmic law that exists under the name of Solanensis. And the second is a marked deterioration in the conditions of ordinary being existence on some part or other of the surface of this planet of yours. I'm speaking about that germ of the particular functioning of their common presence, which after several of their years was molded in all the beings of this community in a form that became, during certain definite periods, inherent in them, and was a stimulating factor for the specific manifestations proper only to the three-brain beings of the planet Earth. And this time, the totality of these manifestations among the beings of that large community was called Bolshevism. Later, I will tell you about this particular functioning of their common presence. I touched upon this question at this point only to give you a picture of the extremely abnormal conditions of being existence in which my activities proceeded during this sojourn of mine among the beings of this large community in their capital city, St. Petersburg. Even before my arrival in that city, I had thought of carrying out one of my intentions, for which everything that was necessary had already been prepared. The fact is that well before this, I had intended to set up in one or another of their large populated places something similar to what they call a chemical laboratory, in which I wished to make special experiments by means I had decided on beforehand on certain deeply hidden aspects of their strange psyche. And so, my boy, when I had settled down in this city and discovered that almost half my time there would be free, I decided to take advantage of being temporarily half occupied and set about fulfilling this intention of mine. The results of my inquiries showed me that in order to set up such a laboratory, it was required, first of all, to have a permit from the local power-possessing beings. And that is why I immediately took steps to get this permit. The first steps I took showed me that on account of the laws which had long been fixed in the process of existence of this community, a permit to have one's own chemical laboratory could be issued only by certain department of one of their ministries, as they are called. So I betook myself to that department, but it turned out that although the staff of this department acknowledged that it was their responsibility to issue this sort of permit, they themselves did not know how it was to be done. And as I later understood, they did not know this simply because no one had ever applied to them for such a permit. And consequently, the automatically constructed psyche of these unfortunate beings had not acquired the mechanical habit for the manifestation of a being duty of this kind. Here it must be noted that in general, during recent centuries in the presence of all the beings on that planet, almost every manifestation for the fulfillment of their being duty proceeds, thanks exclusively to the functioning of data formed in them through frequent repetitions of one and the same thing. Among the power-possessing beings of this community, the crystallization of certain peculiar automatic being data proceeded more intensely than anywhere else at this period, and were manifested so strongly that it sometimes even seemed as if data for the immediate engendering of impulses that are in general proper to beings were completely absent in them. This crystallization proceeded in them, as I later made clear to myself, in consequence of the action of the cosmic law of Solianensis, which I mentioned to you. But as to the fact that nobody had applied for a permit to the staff of that department, this was by no means because none of the inhabitants of this chief place of their existence needed the chemical laboratory. On the contrary, never had there been so many chemical laboratories in that city as at that time. And doubtless all their owners had somehow or other procured the necessary permit from somewhere. And indeed, how could they do without them? Was it not just for this that there existed in this city, as in all large and small communities, a certain administrative body on which rests the prime hope of complete bliss for power possessors, which they now call the gendarmerie or police, one of whose chief obligations is to see to it that everyone, for every kind of enterprise, should have a corresponding permit. Indeed, it must not be supposed that the lynx-eyed representatives of the mentioned prime hope of complete bliss for power possessors would let anything slip by and allow a laboratory to be set up anywhere without the corresponding permit. The basic reason for this seeming contradiction was something quite different. It is necessary to tell you that in this community, the attitude toward the laws and regulations established by beings in the past for normal, according to their understanding, mutual relationship, and in general for ordinary existence, had become such that the only beings who could obtain the benefits to which they had objective right were those who knew how to act to the contrary, that is, against the laws and regulations there. Of these private laboratories, such as I wish to set up, not one, but thousands could be found there. It was merely necessary, first of all, to know the abnormal ins and outs needed for procuring the permits for these laboratories, and then to act in accordance with these abnormalities. But in the short time I had stayed there, I had not yet discovered all the subtleties of the ordinary being existence in this community, which, as I said, had become particularly abnormal. That is why, when I set out to take the first steps to get the permit I required, there began for me those endless vexations, or as they themselves say, those idiotic dilly-dallyings, fixed long ago in the process of their being existence, and, besides, all this proved in the end to be quite fruitless. It began thus. When I reached the aforesaid department and addressed myself to the staff there, they all began to eye each other with perplexity and to whisper together, and several of them rummaged through fat tomes, obviously in the hope of finding some written rules about the issuing of permits. And finally, the head of the department came toward me and pompously told me that the first requirement was to bring him from another department a document certifying my personal loyalty, as they express it. This was the beginning of endless perambulations from one department to another, from one administration to another, from one official specialist to another, and so on without end. Things went so far that I was shuttled back and forth between the district police commissioner and the parish priest, all but to the official city midwife. On top of all this, one of these departments, why I don't know, required that a certificate issued by another department should be stamped by a third. In one department, I had to sign a certain paper. In another, to answer questions having nothing to do with chemistry. While in the third, I was told exactly how to handle the equipment of the laboratory so as not to be poisoned, and so on and so forth. It turned out that without suspecting it at the time, I had been in the hands of an official among whose obligations was that of dissuading those who wished to set up chemical laboratories from this abominable intention. But the most ridiculous of all was that to get this permit, it was necessary to apply to one public servant after another who had not even the remotest idea of what a laboratory was. I do not know how all this would have ended if, having wasted almost 2 months, I had not finally given up all this foolish bother, and I gave it all up for a reason that was not without its humor. According to the rules of this senseless procedure, I had to get an official paper from a doctor certifying that my work in this laboratory would not endanger my personal health. So I went to the official doctor. But when he wished to examine me thoroughly and asked me to undress completely so that he might tap me all over with his little hammer, I could not, of course, consent. And I could not consent to this because if I had bared myself, I should inevitably have betrayed my tail, which on your planet I skillfully hid under the folds of my clothes. And you understand, of course, that if anyone had caught sight of it, soon they would all have known that I was not a being of their planet, and I would not have been able to remain among them and continue the experiments which interested me for the elucidation of the strangeness of their psyche. That is why I left this doctor without the necessary paper. From that day on, I gave up the whole thing and ceased trying to obtain a permit to set up my own laboratory. In spite of the fact that I'd been going about everywhere pursuing my special aim and running here and there to get this permit, I often met that important Russian, my first acquaintance, who, although he was very busy with his own affairs, found time to visit me or to receive me at his house. During these meetings, we almost always talked about alcoholism in his country and the measures for struggling against this evil. From each of these exchanges of opinion, more and more material was accumulated in me. Since my impartial observations and studies of all the aspects of the psyche of the beings of that locality were constantly crystallizing new data in me. This important Russian laid great weight on my considerations and remarks on what had already been done by the People's Temperance League and on the plans for future activities, and was always sincerely delighted by the justness of my observations. At first, all my suggestions, which he reported to the League at their general meetings, always accepted and carried out. But when certain members of this League accidentally learned that the initiative for many useful measures came from some foreign doctor or other, who was not even a European, all the habitual protest and intrigue rose up against the proposals coming from me, and also against the head of the League himself. Those to blame for all the misunderstandings that led to the sorrowful end of such an important institution as the League, created for the welfare of the three-brained beings of this community of many millions, were, as always and in everything, the learned beings of new formation. The point is that on the insistence of certain hereditary power-possessing beings, there were included among the permanent leading members of this new institution several learned physicians. They happened to be among the leaders of this League because in the presence of the hereditary power possessors of that period, there had become definitely fixed as an integral part of their essence that same inner overlord of theirs, so maleficent for terrestrial three-brained beings, which, of itself, had become the sense and aim of existence for those unfortunates, and was called by them self-calming. Therefore, to spare themselves the least being effort, they insisted that these learned physicians should without fail be included in this important institution of great social significance. In recent times, for some reason or other, the learned beings of new formation are mostly members of this profession. It is further necessary to tell you that when certain of these learned beings of new formation became power possessors and happened to take up important responsible posts in the process of ordinary existence, they serve as sources of every kind of misunderstanding, much more often than the hereditary power-possessing beings. And they serve as sources of misunderstanding, obviously, because in their common presence, they are acquired and interwoven in a peculiar way the characteristics of three quite different contemporary types of your favorites, namely, power-possessing beings, learned beings of new formation, and professional physicians. And so, my boy, on the initiative and insistence of several hereditary power-possessing beings of that community, especially of those who, while outwardly still possessing power, had no more inner significance than empty hourglasses or deflated gas bags, the accomplishment of such a serious task as the relative saving of many millions of beings similar to themselves was entrusted to those genuine stuffed turkeys, or as they would say there, upstarts. At first, as long as these upstarts, who had accidentally been brought to power, carried on the petty intrigues proper to them, just among themselves, it was still only half a calamity for the common undertaking. But when, thanks to all kinds of maneuverings, intrigues began between all the members of the League, and they broke up into different factions, a pernicious custom, which is very widespread there and obstructs the actualization of every promised beginning, then even such a good beginning as this League, founded for the general welfare of contemporary three-brained beings, began, as they say, to crack at the seams. Just when I arrived with my first Russian acquaintance in the chief place of existence of this community, these petty intrigues of theirs were in full swing between the different factions, as well as between the separate members of that indispensable state organization. When those upstarts who had accidentally been given power learned that many of the counsels and indications for improving the organization came from me, a professional like themselves, but one who did not belong to their so-called corporation, they realized that their intrigues and slanders could have no significance whatever for me, and directed them against the head of the League, whom they themselves had chosen. It's appropriate to remark here, incidentally, that although every kind of data for evoking the various being impulses which they ought to have are in general feebly crystallized in the presence of these contemporary professionals there, the data which bring forth the impulse called corporate feeling, for some reason or other, are crystallized and function in them very strongly. Well, my boy, as long as I did not know that to be occupied with intrigues and slander, or, as they sometimes express it, cutting each other's throats, is a compelling need in power-possessing beings of this community, I continued to hope and patiently awaited suitable conditions for the possibility of achieving my fundamental aim, that is, of proceeding with my observations and experiments on the psyche of the terrestrial beings in the Mass. But when it became definitely clear to me that in this community, under the existing conditions of reciprocal relationships, I could never succeed in this, and I also became convinced that it was impossible to get my own chemical laboratory there by honest means, that is, strictly in conformity with the laws of this community, I decided to remain there no longer, but to depart and seek suitable conditions for my aim in some other European community. When my first acquaintance, the influential Russian, learned about this decision of mine, he was greatly grieved, as were also several other Russian beings who were really concerned for the welfare of their native land, and who, during this period, had had time to become convinced that my knowledge and experience might be very useful for their fundamental aim. Several days before I was to leave, the League was preparing for the opening of the big building designed, as I've already told you, as the headquarters for the struggle against alcoholism, and which the beings there called by the name of their Tsar, the national building of Tsar Nicholas II. On the eve of my intended departure, my important Russian acquaintance came to see me unexpectedly, and having expressed his sincere regret at my leaving, begged me very earnestly to stay a few days longer, so that after the dedication and opening of this building, he might travel with me and incidentally rest a little from all the recent worries and intrigues. I had no special reason to hurry, so I agreed and postponed my departure for an indefinite time. 2 days later, the inauguration of this building took place, and as I had received what is called an official invitation, the previous evening, I betook myself to the ceremony. Well, at this state solemnity of that contemporary community of many millions of people, which even His Majesty the Tsar attended, there began to flow, in respect of my person, what is called Koretz Taknilkarul, which, generally speaking, always flows from the totality of the surrounding abnormalities, and, forming automatically in the psyche of every one of the three brain beings of that ill-starred planet, holds them all, as it were, in an exitless magic circle. And the further events proceeded in the following order. On the day of this state solemnity, while the ceremony was still in progress, my first Russian acquaintance suddenly ran toward me, pushing his way through the beings who were exhibiting themselves in all the blaze of what are called full dress uniforms and decorations, and in a joyous voice announced to me that I was to have the happiness of being presented to His Majesty the Tsar. Having said this rapidly, he hurried away. It turned out that at this solemnity he had had some conversation with the Tsar about me, as a result of which it had been decided that I should be presented to him. To be presented to an emperor, Tsar, or king is considered on all the continents of that planet as a very, very great piece of luck. And that is why my acquaintance rejoiced beyond words at receiving such a favor on my behalf. Obviously, he wished to give me great pleasure by this presentation, and thereby calms his own conscience, since he considered himself to blame for my unsuccessful stay in the capital.